to Cinema de More. Today starts our new theme, a very fun theme, called our theme this month is Shitty Sequels. And it was I'm the one responsible for picking this theme, so yeah, blame me if you love any of these movies, which I don't think anyone does love any of these. I love one of these movies, actually, but yeah, we'll see as we go on. Anyways, I'm James Reinhardt, here with my usual co-hosts.
Justin Morgan.
Chris Coe.
Chuck Phillips.
And today was my film pick, and my pick is the classic Howling 2.
The classic,
yeah. Classic is a strong word. I will say the 80s werewolf film Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf. Or, as is known overseas, Howling 2, Sturbo Werewolf Bitch.
It's a much better title.
It is, yeah.
What's the title for this episode?
What is the title for
this one? Which one do you want to go with?
I guess we go with Sister is a Werewolf.
Okay. .. Your sister is a werewolf. Oh, shit.
Well, that's one of my favorite parts, is that that's the title of the film, and it has almost nothing to do with 99% of the film.
Well,
they get that out of the way within the first 5 minutes, and then they're like, all right, let's go do other things.
Let's think about that, because there is the beginning, but then later on...
There's that beginning.
It is kind of a double entendre, because it comes back, the same thing can be said as a reference point later on in the film.
That's true.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, which, fuck it. Like, let's just get into spoilers now. It's revealed that Christopher Lee's character is siblings with Sturba, the werewolf bitch, from the overseas title, Queen of All Werewolves. So she's how many thousands of years old?
10,000 years old.
So he's got to be 10,000 years old, too,
I guess? That was my question, is she sucks the life out of virgins, I guess, to maintain her youth.
Yeah.
What the fuck does Christopher Lee do?
Yeah.
Like, he's the power of God.
Maybe he's not. Yeah. Maybe that's why he's old.
Yeah. That's just how he looks.
I accidentally saw why he's in this movie. He said that he wanted to be in a werewolf movie, and he chose poorly. He had not been in a werewolf movie at that point, so that's why he was like, I'm in.
Yeah, I was reading about his involvement in this film, and that he, like, thought his co-stars were so terrible that they're like, there are times where it looked like he was, like, wishing himself away from set when he was acting opposite them.
But anyways, it follows Howling 1, where this guy, Ben, and the other woman's just, like, they're related too, right?
Him and the other main woman?
That other main woman.
I don't know what their relationship is, but...
I think that woman was just a co-worker of his sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, which...
Karen.
Yeah, Karen.
I guess, because Karen, his sister, who is a werewolf, was in the first film. Because the first Howling film, directed by Joe Dante, is actually a pretty solid werewolf film. It's about... She's a news anchor, and she has, like, a... She has a stalker, and she attempts to lead the police to the stalker, because he's suspected of being involved with a bunch of other murders. And she kind of has this traumatic incident when the police try to catch him, and she's having trouble dealing with it. So the psychiatrist, played by Patrick McNee of Avengers fame, not superhero team, but the British spy show, he invites her to, like, a commune he has in upstate California to, like, try to, like, deal with this repressed terror she has from this experience. And, of course, everyone in the commune is werewolves. And, at the end, she gets bitten as she's escaping by her husband, who had turned into a werewolf. And she escapes with a fellow reporter, and she decides that she wants to tell the world that werewolves exist, that they walk among us. And so at the very end, she goes on air to be her news anchor thing and reads a speech about werewolves being real and all that stuff. Then she transforms into a werewolf on live TV, and her reporter friend who helped her escape is standing by with a rifle and silver bullets and shoots her. And that is the end, and that is the werewolf sister that we see briefly.
Bullshit.
I did like how the movie started too, where the priest is giving a eulogy of some sort, and he's like, amen. And they're like, amen. He's like, amen. And they're like, amen.
Then finally
he's like, amen. And it's like, when Christopher Lee says like, amen, he's like, okay, we're cool.
But even before that, the beginning is great, because it's Christopher Lee standing in space,
floating in space,
like reading, what is it, even like
the skeleton right behind him?
He's reading a book. Yeah. The skeleton's not even behind him immediately. Yeah, it appears shortly after him.
And he's like reading a book or something. Like, I don't even know what nonsense.
Like, I guess he's reading. I think he's reading about Sturba, but he doesn't say her name. Although he, I don't even know that he says werewolf. He's like it says she's a harlot.
Something
weird like that. Like, I don't even think he mentions werewolves.
I think he's talking about her, though. Yes,
I think so.
But yeah, so that's your first shot, is Christopher Lee superimposed over space as a skeleton slowly fades in. that kind of sets up what film you're in for, and then it goes into this funeral.
It has, like, 80s punk music.
Oh, yeah.
The same goddamn song.
I was going to say.
At least every 10 minutes.
The Howling song.
Yeah.
They're singing about the Howling.
Yeah.
If you don't like 80s punk songs about werewolves, then I have some bad news for you. And they play that song constantly.
Yeah. That's like the only other that's the only music in the movie, is they just keep playing that song.
I think you're right, yeah.
And odd times, too. Like, that was all. I think they got the song.
Well, that's definitely the only thing that plays in the movie.
They probably got
it
for free, because they were like, well, this would be good advertising for you. You got a song called The Howling. It's going to be in a movie called The Howling. We're not going to pay you for it. It's just going to be free advertisement. And they were like, yeah. And their career didn't take off.
What was the name of the band?
Babel.
Babel, that was it.
And it's really funny, and was it Christopher Lee mentions that they found 6 more bodies torn up by werewolves or something. So they cut to, I'm assuming it's the 6 body, the people before they become 6 bodies, which is a bunch of punks in this warehouse. And I love the guy that gets smashed violently on the back of the head.
With a log.
And he's like, what the fuck? It's like such a terrible reaction.
Well, I love that scene even beforehand where Christopher Lee walks into this punk club, and like they give him this ridiculous pair of sunglasses to wear.
I thought, do I look like a young person? Am I blending in?
How do you do, fellow kids?
He's like, what's his name? Steve Buscemi, when he's in, which fucking movie is he? That he's trying to be like an undercover guy.
Oh yeah.
In high school, he just has his t-shirt that says like AC/DC, and he's like, what's up, dudes? And skateboard.
Yeah, he's like, well, how do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah.
But yeah, we get these punks that are killed by a werewolf woman, I guess. Like, it's shot very weird. They always show shots of her, like, face mid-transformation, but then these punks are getting, like, stuff thrown at them from off-screen by presumably werewolves.
Oh yeah, there's shit flying through the air.
I get this box knocked on top of him, like, it's very cartoonish.
Yeah, it is, because, like, there's that one scene where the one guy is standing in front, the other guy's in back, and then, like, from side off camera, that like box just flies off and smacks the guy in the back.
There's weird cameras, like, hey, we put a camera on the roof, we put a camera here. You just keep swapping between all these cameras. They start getting chased by the werewolf that's ripping everybody to shreds. I like the person that makes it out on the roof and then gets cut off by the werewolf and then rolls off the roof to their death. It's also funny beforehand, because before they get to that warehouse, it's like there's these cool shots of the motorcycles like driving to the warehouse, but the one character waved to them, so there's multiple shots of people on motorcycles waving, like as they're like their hands should probably be on both handles, since they're like going over like mud and terrain, you know? It's not like flat surface. But they're all like waving unthreatening as they pull up.
Yeah, they're punks. They don't have to follow the rules.
They really were punks.
Yeah.
Now that the female werewolf in the scene was originally going to be a character from the first film, a female werewolf that had survived. But that actress had health problems. I think she had cancer. She ended up passing away. So there's that, and also because Joe Dante pissed her off in the first film, that's why she refused to return for this one, and probably for the best.
Better for her career.
Yeah, well, unfortunately not, because she did pass away from, but I know, like, Joe Dante, like, tricked this actress into doing a nude scene, and that's why she didn't return.
And then they tricked Christopher Lee into doing a nude scene.
But yeah, there's that. And then at the funeral scene, it's amazing where, like, the one guy... one of my favorite lines in the movie where, like, the one guy's, like, the main character, but he's asking Christopher Lee why he keeps hanging around.
Ben,
yeah.
Ben's my favorite character, for sure.
Oh, I want to know why Ben's your favorite character.
He's in denial about his sister being a werewolf, and he loves guns.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, he like questions Christopher Lee, and then Christopher Lee is just like, "Your sister is a werewolf." Then he walks away. No more explanation. Just says your
and,
sister.
And they're talking through a gate for some reason.
Yeah, the gate at the funeral home, at the cemetery. I'm sorry.
What's going on? He said your sister's a werewolf.
Bullshit. Yeah. No, you gotta say it angrily. He's like, "Bullshit."
But I love how Christopher Lee didn't give any more. Like, I just want to do that. Hang around people's funerals. Be like, why are you here? Your sister's a werewolf. And just walk away. But then, also, he has a Marvel connection. That actor, Reb Brown, who played him, there are two Captain America TV movies made in the 70s.
That's where I've seen him before.
He played Captain America in these shitty TV movies.
And he didn't start a franchise? Like, he didn't have the acting prowess to carry two made-for-TV movies to start him?
No, he didn't. The second one, though, called Captain America Death Too Soon, which I feel is how the audience felt, Christopher Lee played the villain in that one.
Oh.
So this is his second time working with Christopher Lee.
Wow.
There's so many great moments in this. Shortly after they're told about werewolves and shown the video footage of his sister turning into a werewolf, he's like, "We have to go to Transylvania." And they're like, "Okay." And then they're just like in fucking Transylvania like that quick.
Well, is that before or after that scene where like Christopher Lee's like, "We have to go stake her body in the coffin"?
Yeah, they do that.
No, I'd say that's before.
Yeah, because that was the point when I first watched
it. Oh, yeah, get away from my sister. I'll blow your head off.
Goes, "Damn." That's the first thing he says. He like cocks the gun and goes, "Damn."
But I love that where he's like, "Oh yeah, we have to stake her body or she'll come back." And at that point, I go, "Was this originally written to be a vampire film and then changed?"
you're forgetting though that then this isn't brought up very often that silver bullets don't work on certain werewolves. Sometimes you need titanium.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
It's one of my favorite lines because it's such a weird thing. Like they tried to like make it cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Silver isn't cool anymore. You know what's cool? Titanium.
I like later too where he's like, "Don't you have any modern weapons?" And he's like, "That guy has like a titanium sword."
Yeah.
It's like, that is not what he's talking about at all.
He's like, "We have this gun lying around." And he's like, "Yeah, I know how to use that.
Titanium bullets."
I do love that they go to the graveyard to stake the sister or she'll come back as a werewolf. And they don't even do that. Like, she turns into a werewolf, but they just, like, close the coffin lid and, like, leave.
Well, he shoots his sister.
He does shoot her.
He was all mad that Christopher Lee was going to stab her. And then as soon as she comes to life, he goes, "Oh, fuck," and shoots her. He immediately stopped caring about her.
There's also the costumes that they have for these. Did you hear about the behind-the-scenes thing?
Oh, I did. And I love it.
You can tell it if you want to tell it, but...
That originally these were ape costumes from the Planet of the Apes TV show, and I've read two. One version I read is that they had to add more hair to make them look like werewolves. Another was that they accidentally got shipped ape costumes, and they added more hair to make them look werewolfy.
The version that I read said that they arrived in boxes that said Planet of the Apes, and he's like, "No, we need wolves," and they're like, "You know, you're a genius, make it work." So they said that that's why they added the middle stage of the werewolf.
Yeah.
Where they had to, like, they have a weird lesson from, that they probably added from Christopher. Like, "Christopher Lee, they sent us the wrong suit, so you need to explain that there's a monkey phase." And he's like, "God damn it." Okay.
Because I was wondering when I was rewatching it for this, because the first Howling is pretty well known for its practical werewolf effects and how good they are. And I'm watching this, I'm like, how the fuck did... Because these look like shit. And then I read that they accidentally got sent ape costumes.
What is the close-up? Like, they're clearly apes, and then the close-ups are, like, one shot that they have from the original Howling movie that they just keep flipping.
I guess, because... Oh, go ahead, you're...
That's the other thing I was thinking. Well, the close-up is always just the teeth. It's not even... Not even, like, a full face. It's always just the mouth.
But I feel like it's footage from the first movie that they just, like... Keep
Super
using
codes,
again and again and again.
It probably is, because I read that most of this was filmed in Czechoslovakia, and that's why they couldn't really do anything when they were shipped. No. But anyway.
Yeah, the doomsday clock didn't give it away or anything.
Yeah, but that's why they couldn't really do anything when they were shipped these ape costumes. But I heard that they'd filmed some like inserts of a werewolf mask in L.A. that they'd shoot in for the close-ups. which still doesn't look good most when you see these werewolf scenes.
There's so many great scenes. When they're in Transylvania, and I know I'm like skipping ahead, but I really love the scene where they're in the car, flying down the road, no seatbelts. The girl starts drinking out of a flask, and then they turn around, and there's a fucking werewolf in the back seat, and they're like, "God damn it!" these damn werewolves, like, can't get away from them. And then they almost drive off a cliff, and she's hanging out the window with this flask. And it does this quick zoom back to show you how high up they are on the cliff.
And there's like a scene where they come across like those people in the middle of the road. They're like trying to trick them.
They meet up with Borat. This lady was in my car. We don't know what to take to hospital. And he's like, "Well, we'll save this lady."
I like when Christopher Lee like packs up and he's and like instead of being like "come with me," he's like, "I'll meet you later in the village."
Yeah, that's what I love that part. Like, he just like walks away. He's like, "I'll see you guys at the village." He just like walks away,
and they just get in the car and go somewhere.
I was like, "What? Did he just really want to get away?"
I don't think anyone even cleans up the body off the road. They just leave it there.
Yeah.
And
like, oh, and they stab that body.
Yeah.
It's like becoming a werewolf. They think that it's just like a sickly person.
Yeah,
and
that's making cat noises.
I think she's trying to say something.
There's a lot of weird noises in this. Like,
yeah.
Really, really weird. Like,
yeah.
They're made by people and probably the cast, and they never decided in post or something to like try to like dub over top of it some scary animal noises.
Yeah, I don't think. Like, I really want to know the thought process behind this film, because...
I don't think there was any.
Yeah, I don't know, and I know, because The Howling was a book, and then there are two sequels written, and the author of the book was not happy with the film, because the film's a very loose adaptation. So I know he wrote a draft of the script for this,
mm-hmm.
and it was rewritten, so I don't know...
It's probably perfect, just what he wanted.
this film? I hope it is. I hope he's like, yeah, this is exactly as I envisioned it.
Well, they have these weird, like, wolf... sex scenes or something.
Oh yeah.
And it cut
wolf
my favorite one is like they cut to the orgy and it's just these three werewolves going and like licking and fake biting. It's like a good minute long scene and it cuts back to the rest of the movie. there's no context about what's going on in that scene.
It cuts to the Ben and what's her name? Jenny? Yeah, I think Jenny. Ben and Jenny. Yeah, the three of them are going, row, row. And then it's the two of them, "Hey, there's a word, Volk, means werewolf." He's like, "Okay." He's like, "And Volklava means heart of werewolf." He's like, "That's great." And then it immediately cuts back to, row, row, row.
And at one point, there's like a werewolf sex scene that cuts back to Ben and Jenny, like in bed together.
Yeah.
And I was like, I did not get any romantic tension between.
I also enjoy when it cuts back to her in the tub and the camera slowly walking in like it's going to be a werewolf. And it's just him and he goes, "Boo! Did I scare you?" She's like, "No." Okay, and then just cuts back to something else.
I do like when they check into that hotel too and they're like, "You're in room 666. And he's like, "I didn't see six floors." And they're like, "Funny, isn't it?" And they all start laughing. Like the bellhops laughing. And it's not funny.
Doing the maniacal laugh.
They go upstairs, they immediately start fucking, and then the one werewolf, what's his name? He's the Omen guy.
Yeah, the guy looks like Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, he can like fucking smell sex, so he gets all like aroused and starts biting on the neck of this other musician, I'll call him. And then it's like a shot of like an old lady just like watching it all from the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the middle is weird because like they're. Judd Omen is his name?
Yeah.
Wow, is he a superhero or something?
His name's Judd Omen.
Like, the middle is weird because there's not really much happening because it's just like Jenny and what's his name, Captain America, like hanging out around this village. But then it keeps cutting back to this castle. And like the whole reason I go to Transylvania is disturbed by the werewolf bitch on her 10,000th birthday is going to announce, have all the werewolves in the world reveal it themselves. But there's no real like tension leading up to that. It's just Sterba's old and then she trains a virgin, gets young and hot again, and then there's lots of werewolf orgies.
There's a shot where she takes her top off that they really
that we have not
yeah.
We did not see enough of in the movie itself.
Yeah.
We had to stick through that whole thing, and you'll get that a lot more.
It's the first post-credit scene ever.
It could be.
That is...
This is totally out of context, but she rips her shirt off while the one werewolf is impregnating the virgin werewolf. And later in the movie, they have a cut of all kind of random things, and every scene is spliced with her ripping her shirt off. So she rips her shirt off, rips her shirt off, rips her shirt off. It's like some perv really liked this scene. Yeah. Was like, we're going to do it 30 times.
Yeah. It is not later in the movie. It is the end credits, which is the band singing the Howling song.
Again.
While she's ripping her shirt. And then it is also a good lesson on the Kuleshov effect, because they show reaction shots from other places in the movie of other characters reacting to her boobs. And I was reading about that. And I guess that was only in the end credits 5 times, which I thought was 5 times too many. But the producer saw it and loved it so much, he wanted more shots of her ripping her shirt off in the end credits. So it's 17 times in the end credits. Jesus. And this movie just came out on Blu-ray, thanks to Scream Factory. It does the Lord's work. They put out all these great
movies. Thank you, Scream Factory.
But I guess she, Sybil Danning, that actress, she did a, like, commentary on the Blu-ray, and she voiced her displeasure when the first time she saw it, seeing that end scene, because she didn't know they were going to do it, and she was not thrilled when she saw it.
That's great.
Mind you, this was before DVD, so you couldn't, like, skip the scene and replay it over and over and over again, so you'd have to fast forward or rewind. Mm-hmm. They just took out the middleman.
Yeah,
you didn't have to do all that.
Can you imagine, like, seeing this in theaters and seeing that those end credits?
Or the driving.
What the?
If anyone could even make it that far.
That's your
reward for sitting through this entire movie.
Yeah, because first time I tried watching this, I was in my teens, and there is, like, a lot of nudity in it, but there wasn't, like, when you're a teenage boy, like, if there's nudity, you can usually tough it out, but I couldn't even, I was like, this movie's awful, and I turned it off, and then my buddy Mike, like, a few years ago, he and I were talking bad movies, and he's like, have you seen The Howling 2? And I'm like, I tried watching it, and I gave up, and he's like, oh, no, it's great, it's so bad, you gotta watch it, and I came over to his house and watched it, and, like, yeah, it was pretty terrible and pretty worth it. And then, like, a few months later, my friends and I are having a party at our place, and we're all pretty drunk, and we put on TV. And Howling 2 was on TV, and I'm like, guys, we were fucking watching this movie. And I made, like, all of us pissant drunk watch this film.
Nice.
That Sybil Danning, too, was adopted by Rob Zombie.
What?
She was in the Grindhouse short that he did.
Yeah.
The Werewolf Women of the SS.
Yeah.
And she's also one of the nurses in the Halloween remake.
Oh.
But I like that he made her aware. It's 100% from this movie as to why she has that job. Yeah.
We just said adopted by Rob Zombie. I was like, what?
Yeah, I'm like, huh?
But,
what's that possible?
But yeah, he does like those, like,
his daughter
movie. Yeah, I'm like, that's weird. How'd that work out? But
I mean, he took her under his wing and was like, we can use you again in every movie I ever make.
He does do that. He recycles a lot of the B-movie actors and actresses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he loves them.
But yeah, she, I know she's been in other stuff, but this is probably the only thing I've seen her in, is this movie. Mm. Yeah, I feel like everyone else, she is probably regretting her role in here as Sturba.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but I'm sure she knew at the time what she was getting into. I mean, she's there topless, not doing anything.
Thought it was just going to be that one scene.
It was, it just was more frequent than she expected.
This also has the fear of little people. They went with that.
Oh yeah, the little people, which might be my favorite scene in this movie.
The window. Go ahead. You have to explain it.
Well,
it's your episode.
Yeah, I'm finding it weird to describe the plot of this film because it is so nonsensical.
Oh, the midget. And the wolves.
Well, there's a little person who is a werewolf fighter alongside Stefan, Christopher Lee's character. He, like, just goes to his village and assembles werewolf fighting people. I guess they all hang out there. And one of them is this little guy who, he's a dwarf. And he can throw a knife like a motherfucker. I must say that. There's that one scene where he, like, throws a knife from really far. I feel like a knife shouldn't travel that far. But he does and kills a...
You haven't seen Kiyoma.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
But yeah, him, Stefan, and the other, the blonde. I still can't remember that character's name, but
Jenny.
No, well, is that when they're going to rescue Jenny, or is this after she is, before
Ben?
She is? Ben, yeah, that's who.
Okay.
Yeah, Ben, who is revealed to be a sheriff, a small town sheriff, and that's why he has guns. But they're going to Sturba's castle, and
I like these revealed to be a small time sheriff. that's a big plot twist.
There's like a throwaway line where he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm a sheriff back home, and that's why I have this gun." And I think it's around this point. But yeah, they're going to the castle, and you know, the dwarf gives Ben earplugs,
magic blessed earplugs.
Yeah, blessed earplugs to protect him from magic, I guess. But shit goes awry, and they're running away, but the dwarf's earplugs fall out while Sturba is casting a spell. And that is my favorite scene, when the dwarf's eyes explode.
Yeah.
And what is clearly a mask of some sort, while an actor is holding it with his hands. And it is an amazing close-up.
I also like when the earbuds fall into, like, the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like rustling around trying to find them. I'm like, are you sticking those back in your ears?
Well, it's either that or your eyes explode, man.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if
it
was, you know, given a choice between putting dirty earplugs in my ear or
yeah.
my eyes exploding and me becoming a zombie, I'd probably put the earplugs
in. You're that guy, they hand them to you covered in dirt. Put them in your ear. Oh, your head's going to explode.
That's gross, man.
I don't want to put those in my ear. No, your eyes are going to blow out of your head. But dirt in my ear? I don't know.
When we were drunk, when I put it on, it was right at that scene. I'm like, guys, this is serendipitous. Like, this is the best scene. But yeah, so his eyes explode, and then he becomes a puppet for Sturba, and attempts to lead Stefan into a trap, which does not work, and Stefan throws him out a window.
Stefan is Christopher Lee, if we haven't said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he leads Christopher Lee. He's, like, wearing a mask. And he's, like, leading Christopher Lee into, like, a room. Christopher Lee, like, thinks he's, like, a little kid or something. And I'm like, wait, you just recruited this guy, like, a couple scenes ago. And now you're just like, oh, he's a little kid. But, yeah, then there's...
With that mask, or they're like, where'd you get... What are they saying?
He has that charm. He's like, where'd you get this charm?
Oh, yeah.
Where the fuck did you get... Like, it's just not the guy's not moving, and he's just like, where did you get it? Tell me where you got it from. He, like, rips it off of him.
They do the same thing that they do in all the Giallo movies, which is have, like, a woman's voice, which is clearly not what's coming out of that dwarf.
Yeah, it is very Giallo. No, you brought it up. It also reminded me of Don't Look Now with the dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember?
Oh, yeah.
The scariest dwarf of all time, Don't Look Now.
Yeah, I would say it is scary, yeah. But yeah, that whole scene reminded me of, like, a shitty Don't Look Now, where he's following this dwarf, and then, yeah, he's revealed to be the eyeless, who Christopher Lee believes a child when he takes off the mask is the eyeless zombie dwarf character, who I think he has a name, but I forget it.
He also was really creepy when, like, they kept on him too long, and he, like, ran into that room and, like, laid on the floor and was giggling.
Mm-hmm.
But the scene didn't end.
Yes.
The camera was still rolling. I'm like, they should have cut this, like, a long time ago. Or just cut the whole scene out.
Yeah, I feel like under a competent director, like, this could have been a really disturbing scene. Is, you know, this zombie dwarf trying to lead Christopher Lee into a trap. It could have been really suspenseful, really well done. But instead, it's just...
Or even a better editor.
Or yeah, that. But, like, the whole time, it just seems
don't put
like,
that on the editor.
Then, you know, Christopher Lee, you could tell, you could look at his face and tell he hated being on this film.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, his performance in that scene is just, like, over it.
And I like, before they go to the castle, Ben and Jenny are with the creepy nephew of, like, the hotel owner.
Oh, yeah.
Who's like, for very cheap money, I'll be a good guide. Mm-hmm. And they still follow him around for a bunch of times. And he knows that everyone in the town supports the vampires except for the
werewolves.
Five people they're with. Yeah, werewolves.
Werewolves.
I feel like I agree with James. I think this maybe was supposed to be a vampire movie.
Don't agree with James because you said
vampires. I did the same thing when I was in the car with Chris. I said there's vampires there. And he goes, werewolves? And I was like, shut up.
And essentially, like, it feels like, especially with them going to
Transylvania.
Yeah,
going to an old castle. Everything feels more like a vampire movie. movie than a werewolf movie.
Don't defend yourself. But first of all, they're monkeys.
Yeah, they're not even vampires either. But when he just leaves...
They're not werewolves again. You said it again.
I don't know what they are. But when he leaves her with the nephew and goes, I'm just going to go over here for a little while. And the nephew's like, okay. Yeah. And she turns around, where's Ben? He says we meet you at gypsy camp. You want to go to gypsy camp now? And she's like, okay. And I'm like, why did he leave her with that guy that he knows is a werewolf or probably supports werewolves? And he just walked away.
He probably supports werewolves.
If there was an election, he'd vote for them.
Yeah. He'd vote in full werewolf.
Yeah.
He'd be wearing a red hat.
Oh my god, make Transylvania great again. Vote for the werewolves.
You a werewolf? No. Do you want to be?
But yeah, I feel like if your ship ape costumes and your script is already basically a vampire film, maybe you should have made an executive decision and be like, yeah, this
just
is...
ditch the costumes entirely and be like, we could just use fake fangs.
Yeah, just use vampires.
And be like, yeah, this is a vampire film now. You know, screw it. But yeah, because it... And, you know, I looked it up, but I couldn't find anything saying that this was originally intended to be a vampire film, but it really, really fucking...
Especially Transylvania vibe, the whole thing of it.
Maybe the screenwriter just didn't know the difference between the two. Garlic? I meant titanium.
That's right, she does have garlic that she's waving around the room.
Yeah.
What's that for? She's like, to ward off evil spirits.
Yeah, at one point, yeah, they're using garlic because they think they'll protect them. And, like, I assumed that this was written as a vampire film, but then when they decided they wanted to make a sequel to The Howling, they're like, yeah, we'll just change this.
It did remind me a lot of the punk vibe. What's the Bowie movie?
I know what you're talking about. I've never seen it.
Hunger.
Yeah, it remind me a lot of Hunger, but
not good.
Yeah. Like it was a wannabe Hunger.
There's another weird shot. There's a weird scene that was edited very strangely where they have the punk band again.
Of course.
Playing the same song. And it makes it look like it looks like they're supposed to be in the castle with everybody having an orgy. Mm-hmm. But the shots like don't match up. Like they're clearly still in the club. You can see the graffiti and the writing that they're in the club. And then you see all the people that look like they're watching a stage. And then it cuts the punk band and they're definitely on a stage in a club, not in the castle.
Yeah, I couldn't get that. I couldn't get that either. And that's another thing about this film. It's like there's so many moments like that. They're clearly just killing time.
Yeah.
Like this, there's no like driving forward force in this film. There's no. It's just like, cause yeah, there's that, and there's, which I think is another werewolf orgy or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, the punk band. And it's just like I feel like the directors were like, shit, we didn't shoot any of this, guys. We gotta just improvise, and like the extras in that scene are weird too, cause there's like those extras are dressed like into powdered wigs.
Like Victorian England stuff for no reason.
Yeah, I'm like, what's...
Maybe it's like a second unit and they had nothing to go by. They're like, just film a concert scene and they're like, oh, this is inserted into the orgy scene? I don't know.
Well, I feel like... I mean, the movie's almost exactly 90 minutes. And I feel like they must have been editing it. Where are we at? 86 minutes. Fuck. Mm-hmm. What can we put in the movie that people aren't going to question? There's 4 minutes of that band playing again. Fuck it.
Let's do it.
Let's throw it in there.
If it was David Lynch, he'd be like, fuck it. 20 minutes of this band.
Yeah.
If it was David Lynch, it'd be 20 minutes of, like, the janitor in Stirba's castle just sweeping up.
Yeah.
And I'd watch it. Like, I'd watch the shit out of that. But yeah, like, it feels like...
He did do, like, a 20-minute scene of somebody sweeping.
Yeah, in Twin Peaks, yeah. But yeah, I feel like this film, like, barely limped to its 90-minute...
Yeah.
You know, and I hear, you know, supposedly it was a tumult, which a lot of bad movies you hear than really rough productions, and I know since they're filming in Czechoslovakia during the Cold War that they're constantly being spied on, because I guess the Soviets were curious about these Americans filming a movie, and I...
Oh, maybe it's like Argo. Maybe the movie really wasn't.
Did we save some people from Czechoslovakia?
Oh, yeah. Like, the whole movie was a farce, but they still put it out for some reason.
You know what? That would make perfect sense, because Christopher Lee was a spy in World War II. And supposedly he was a Nazi hunter. He never spoke about what he did in World War II, but Christopher Lee, in my opinion, is like the real life most interesting man in the world. But when they arrived in Czechoslovakia, the people in the village like knew of him and knew of his exploits and gave him like a hero's welcome. And none of the other cast and crew are aware of his background, so they're just confused at this huge like reception for Christopher Lee. So yeah, that could add credence to it that Christopher Lee was there on the spy mission.
Wow,
there was no script.
Yeah, they had to make up this fake film while Christopher Lee hunted a Nazi. Holy shit, I'd watch that movie.
Hell yeah,
the making of The Howling 2.
Watch it. Let's make it.
Fuck yeah, let's do it. You guys are hearing us on a podcast. We just come up with this idea.
Yeah, Christopher Lee, Nazi hunter.
So I mean, like, yeah, he goes to, like, they're like, we need a reason to go to the Soviet Union. And he's like, oh, let's just make a shitty movie. And there's, like, this poor director trying to make up, like, The Howling 2 as he goes. He's like, guys, like, another orgy scene. That's all I got. We'll do another orgy scene.
He's, like, getting intel from Christopher Lee. He's like, all right, you gotta go back and make, I'll read from that book. We'll make it look like you're in space. So you never said what happened to the little guy.
He is thrown out a window and impaled on a fence outside.
He's violently, like, he's, like, fucking slammed out that goddamn window.
Yeah.
He just, like, picked up and chucked through the window as hard as he possibly could be. Yeah. And he doesn't make it. He's, like, sliding down pinned to that little fence.
Mm-hmm.
There's way too much fence in that area for some reason.
There's a really sharp fence, and like he is
right under that window.
He is violently thrown out that window and impaled on the fence.
And that's the end of him.
That is the end of the best character in the film. And then, what's her name? The main character girl. She is kidnapped by Sterba. For no, like, nothing is really made of it. And they're like, oh, she's kidnapped. We have to go save her. But like, it doesn't seem like she's ever, like, in danger or anything.
They slather her in blood.
Yeah, they slather her. I think they mentioned that they're going to make her into a werewolf.
Yeah. Jimmy Schmitz.
Yeah, werewolf Jimmy Schmitz.
And she makes very weird, disturbing sexual noises while she's being tied up.
Well, you know, who hasn't?
She shouldn't, like, do it or don't do it. Like, one or the other.
Just get it over with.
In or out. Did your mom ever say that when you're a little kid? In or out.
That would be amazing if that character's just really into that, and the werewolves are just, like, getting freaked out all the time. They're like, come on, be serious. Like, you're a hostage. And she's like, oh, I am.
We're going to make Howling, whatever the number is, .. your mom is a werewolf.
That would be Howling 8. There are 7 of these goddamn movies.
I would definitely see Howling 8, .. Your mother's a werewolf.
Alexia and I, at one point, we were trying to come up with what would be the worst franchise crossover ever, and we came up with the idea of the Howling 8, the Blair Witch Project.
Oh, Jesus.
Where werewolves go into the woods searching for the Blair Witch, but the werewolves, they're all in werewolf form, and they speak in growls that are never subtitled, and they're carrying handheld cameras while looking for the Blair Witch.
And there might be weird scenes where they may be having an orgy, but you're not really sure.
Maybe, yeah, because the cameras aren't, you know, they're not going to be looking at them right when it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But, The Howling 3 is called Howling 3 The Marsupials, where it takes place in Australia with Australian marsupial werewolves that carry baby werewolves in pouches like kangaroos. So our idea for Howling 8, the Blair Witch Project, would be the baby werewolves are the ones holding the cameras while the real werewolves are running. And it's because they're marsupial werewolves searching for the Blair Witch Project, because of course they are. But that was our idea for the worst horror crossover of all time, and I really want to make it.
Where do I sign up?
Yeah, we'll make two. Like, we'll make this weird Howling franchise. One's a spy movie of Christopher Lee, and one's this bizarre farce of crossovers.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, we won't. We'll split the duties of the filmmaking in half, and we won't talk to each other. And then we'll have to put it together into one movie.
Yeah.
don't even tell me what you're shooting, James. Okay, don't tell me what you're shooting, Justin. Like, all right, we're gonna edit these scenes together.
What the fuck is this?
It'll probably be more coherent.
Bullshit.
Yeah. It'll probably be more coherent than this film.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she's kidnapped, and then Reb Brown and Christopher Lee, and the other guys, the other random wolf hunters.
The priest and the two guys with the puppet booth.
Oh, yeah.
A favorite form of communication. How will we talk to you? They'll have a puppet booth.
What did I say about that puppet show, too, that was, like, real funny? It was, like, ultra-violent, and what was his line? It was either about how good it was or how natural it is or something.
The nephew of the hotel owner says, ooh, it's a very good show. Wolf in sheep's clothing. Everyone sounds like Borat in this movie. Like,
they did.
I don't know.
Was hearing a lot of Tommy Wiseau.
Maybe a little bit. Is Tommy Wiseau from Transylvania?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, did I just kill the conversation?
You will not fool me, Gypsy.
Oh my god. That'd be worth it if there's Borat in this movie. You're not fooling me, Gypsy. He's the one who defeats Stirba.
I think that's your new crossover.
Yeah.
Howling with Borat. They go back to his homeland to eradicate
the stripper got kidnapped that he's with.
Wearing his one piece swimsuit. Yeah.
Do you not have me, Gypsy? But, yeah, we get this final confrontation in Stirba's castle where the bat... At one point, the bat on top of her staff is revealed to be alive. And,
eats its way out of that priest or something?
Yeah, there's something...
It's very confusing. I couldn't figure out what was happening. He just starts... Blood just starts, like, shooting out of his face, and then that creature pops out.
Because everyone was watching, I'm like, oh, man, that's a really cool staff that has, like, a mummified bat on top, and then, of course, the bat comes alive and eats
and,
the food.
And, I mean, I'm just going to ask...
Why would there
be a mummified bat in a werewolf movie?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to say, that sounds closer to a certain other...
a certain other...
Monkeys.
Yeah.
Would you say zombies?
Monkeys.
Oh, monkeys. You're right, if monkeys had a mummified bat, it would make a lot more sense.
I think they did.
Yeah, like, once again, yeah, it is... It once again, another vampire thing. For sure, and
How did it get in there, though? How did it get in the guy?
Oh, the bat thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have...
One drunken night.
How did any of this...
There are a couple small scenes that I like. I really like the hitchhikers that get eaten, and that's the end of that scene. They just get picked up.
One guy casually says, I forgot to pack lunch or something like that.
And they don't even, like, get pulled into the truck. They don't look like there's any struggle. They just scream.
Yeah.
But one guy's wearing, like, a leotard with shorts on or something. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I forgot about... Well, yeah, there's, like, that weird... Yeah, that weird hitchhiker scene.
And I really, really, really dug the guy with the fucking owl for, you know, whatever fucking reason that guy had an owl. There's like a cut of like the village and it's just like this guy, a guy with an owl, that guy. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Did that guy just have an owl?
Pay owl? He just hangs up.
He looks like awesome as shit. Like, I want to be that guy.
That guy should be the main character of the movie, the guy with the pet owl.
Yeah. Your sister's an owl.
The owls are not what they seem.
They are not what they seem. Dude, if I had that owl, I would be that guy. Hippie, silent, just carrying an owl.
Just hanging out at the corner.
Hanging out.
In the middle. I see what you did there.
Yep.
And you're hanging out in the town square with your owl.
Probably high as shit.
I mean, if you're going into battle, why aren't you recruiting the owl guy to help you out?
I can just imagine. Where'd you get that owl from? Oh, the owl's real? You're holding a real owl.
It sounds like somebody's recruiting for Deadpool, too. Yeah.
Like, just imagine the ending fight scene where, like, the bat on top of Stirba's staff comes alive. And then the owl, like, the guy, like, swoops in. We get this fight between the owl and the mummified bat.
And then you never see another person again. It's just this fight scene and then credits.
Yeah. That's all you need. Yeah, you don't need any more. You don't need this bullshit ending. With
just lose all the characters that you start with. Yeah. Just end the owl fighting with that.
Yeah. I mean, that would be worth the ticket price, I think.
Really bad shots where you could see that they were, like, taunting the owl with, with like, a real-life mouse to get it to fight the fake bat.
But yeah, so we kind of get the girl saved. Christopher Lee, as we mentioned earlier, Stefan and Stirba revealed to be siblings. And they're kind of engulfed in flames together, and that's that.
That was probably his best day.
Yeah, I feel like the day he was done, he's like, hey, is this it?
Yeah, he does a binding spell on all the other werewolves.
Werewolves have weird powers, too. Like, but before I realized that it was sucking the youth out of that person, it just, like, she put her near her, she was old, like, 70-year-old werewolf bitch, or whatever her name was.
Sterba.
She's, like, an inch away from her face, and then electricity starts, like, zapping between their noses, and I'm like, I caught on pretty fast that she was stealing the youth.
The life.
But the effect was, like, really, really fucking weird.
Yeah, this, because the first Howling film explains the werewolf rules, and this film immediately discards his werewolf rules and creates a whole new, like...
Rules are made to be broken.
Yeah, because, like, the first Howling is traditional in that silver wolves can kill them, but they can transform whenever they want at will, which is in this film, I'll give it that, but then they have all these other... They have this middle between werewolf and human. There's an ape form, which, as we know, they did on based on necessity. And then, obviously, Sterba has all these supernatural powers somehow.
And she was, like, shooting light out of her hand and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Emperor Palpatine.
Like a sexy Emperor Palpatine.
It wasn't, like... It was just more... It was, like, weird beams of light, like the sun or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's that, and there's, like... There seems to be, like, a werewolf, like, society. Because they're all, like, seem to be wherever, and they all hang out with her, but... In the first Howling, the commune that Patrick McNee forms seems to be, like, the first of these safe spaces for all these werewolves to congregate. Because at the end of the first Howling, he's trying to stop them from killing people. He's like, no, because this is going to expose us. Let's not do this. But, you know, this film, this seems to be a whole...
They kind of throw that out the window.
Yeah. Especially since at the whole point of this is at her birthday, all the werewolves are going to reveal themselves and presumably wreak havoc, I guess.
I would think.
Take over the world.
Yeah, so, how has this film tarnished The Howling?
I don't know if it has. Because I think the first Howling's very... I love the first Howling, and I think it...
As a standalone movie, it's really on spot. Spot on.
Yeah, I would say that. But there were six sequels made somehow. Because this... You would think any franchise would end after this film... But no, they made one of Marsupials after, then they just kept going. And Howling 7 came out not that long ago. Howling 7 came out, I think, within the 2010s, and it's like a teen romance.
I think it was like 2013.
Of course it is.
Yeah, yeah. But Howling 4, the fourth one, is closer to the book. It's more of a direct adaptation of the book.
And it's probably is it in more competent hands?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I know the same guy that directed this one directed Howling 3. Somehow. Somehow they said, yeah. But yeah, I don't know if it tarnishes The Howling, but for me, like, anytime I talk about The Howling, I have to bring up how terrible The Howling 2 is and how much I love it, because it's so terrible.
I'm trying to see who's behind these films.
Probably no one notable, but they're all direct to DVD.
I meant more so, like, the studio. Like, what, did they just have extra money? So they're like, we don't really care.
Yeah, I don't know. But they're essentially just, like, an anthology series now, but around werewolves. This is the only... Howling 2 is the only one that is directly related to the previous film.
Howling 6 sounds pretty cool. The Freaks.
Oh, okay. I think that one is loosely based on one of the books as well. I think the third Howling book. Is that what that one's loosely based on?
I was just trying to see what studio. Was it MGM? Do I remember seeing a lion, or am I making that up at the beginning of this movie?
It might have been.
Yeah, it's MGM for this one.
International Investors.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess these films were... I guess all of them were successful enough to, you know, warrant more sequels. But yeah, the first one, though, is Joe Dante, and it came out the same year as American Werewolf in London, which is another classic werewolf film. But yeah, I know this one, kind of does have a cult reputation.
And Wolfen.
Wolfen came out the same shit. Yeah. That was a good year for werewolf films.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess this one does.
Everyone's like, "You're making a werewolf movie."
Everyone's like, "We're gonna make one too."
What you are? What are you filming? It's a werewolf movie. God damn it! We're doing our werewolf movie too.
And all three of those films are pretty well liked. It's not like any of them are like considered the weakest of it. They all have their fans. But I think, I don't know, I love werewolf films, and I think they're kind of hard to pull off. But I think when they are pulled off well, they're done really well. But I'd say, I don't know, I can't think of, like, the best werewolf film since 81 when we had Wolf and Howling and, you know, American Werewolf in London.
I don't really think there has been one.
Yeah, I don't think there has. And I would, I'd love to
maybe make it's one. American Werewolf in Paris. Which, by the way,
awful.
Yeah. Which, by the way, me and Seth are watching Netflix 13 Reasons Why, mm-hmm. and the one guy's dad is the main character from American Werewolf in Paris. I was like, he looks familiar, and I'm like, Seth, I'm gonna look him up, but I already have a feeling that he's the guy from American Werewolf in Paris.
Remember when Max Landis was gonna make a remake of American Werewolf in London?
Yeah, then he was sexist, so he got kicked off Twitter or something.
Yeah, I think he left Twitter after some accusations, and I certainly hope his career is stalled as well.
Is he not making that movie then? What happened to the movie?
I don't think he's making anything currently.
I don't think he is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's working on anything.
I would love to see a new werewolf movie. I don't necessarily think that has to be a remake.
Nobody like Ginger Snaps here?
Oh, fuck. Ginger Snaps is good.
Ginger Snaps is probably the best werewolf movie since American Werewolf.
Yeah, okay, I probably get it. I forgot about Ginger Snaps. Shit, maybe. That was good.
Me and Steph's first movie that we ever saw ever on a date was Wes Craven's, what's it called?
Cursed.
Cursed, not even Nightmare. Werewolves. Werewolves. With God, Joshua movies. Jackson and Elizabeth Shannon.
Judy Greer and Christina Ricci.
Yeah,
it had everybody.
It was a terrible movie. I saw it at the Dollar Theater, and I still was like, fuck, why?
Bowling for Soup was in it.
Who was the guy? Jesse Eisenberg?
Jesse Eisenberg was the brother.
Yeah.
I just remember the end very vividly of the werewolf giving the middle finger.
Yeah. That's the only thing that I can ever remember from that.
Yeah, that's all I remember from it.
It got written into, like, Scream, like a Scream plot, where it was like, who's the werewolf? Are you the werewolf? Instead of who's the killer, they just, like, swapped out that word.
Yeah, I think that's what they're attempting. They're attempting to make a hip werewolf movie, like Scream and made a hip slasher film, but it did not work. I know there's, I think,
wasn't it Kevin Williamson that
yeah, it was Kevin Williamson.
Yeah. Wrote it, yeah.
And I think there was lots of behind-the-scenes problems on that film, too, because I know it was delayed for a lot.
It could have been a good movie. Like,
yeah.
It kind of had the stuff that could have made it pretty good, but
Wolf was good with Jack Nicholson, too.
Yeah, I mean, Wolf was pretty solid.
It's a basic run-of-the-mill werewolf movie, but it's still really good.
Run
story.
Of the mill.
Like, mainstream.
Yeah.
You know, it's not made for, like, horror fans as much as it is, like, mainstream audience. You know,
mm-hmm.
But it still has some really good plots and solid characters. And
yeah.
It's pretty well written.
Decently
well written.
Even the Wolfman remake from 2010, like, I didn't hate.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't great by any means, but it, yeah, I didn't hate it.
I hated that one.
Do you remember it?
I only remember a few scenes from it, but most of it's kind of forgettable. But
I think I remember, and it might be from the trailer, is when Benicio del Toro comes back, and they're like, the prodigal son returns.
Like, the scenes when he isn't the Wolfman are boring as all hell, but the scenes when he's a Wolfman I thought were pretty well done.
And the effects aren't bad either.
Yeah, the effects aren't bad.
The transformation's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, and I know there's lots of
ugly CG transformation when they're like, Rick Baker's back. He's like, they didn't let me transform. Just slapped makeup on him, and they CG'd the transformation.
Yeah, and that's just sad, too, because the makeup is great in the movie, I thought.
Yeah.
The practical makeup was really good. But it seems to be tough to pull off a werewolf film, and this film, I think...
Are we discounting Teen Wolf? Or Teen Wolf 2?
Okay, I haven't seen Teen Wolf since I was a kid, so I can't... I remember when I was a kid, I loved it. But
it's good.
I haven't watched it as an adult.
It's still
how about Teen Wolf the series?
Oh, I heard that was solid. I never watched it.
I would never. I'm just trolling, you know.
I know people liked it. I was on for a long time, but I never watched it.
I never actually watched any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was on MTV, and I
mm-hmm.
don't. Penny Dreadful did The Wolfman really well.
Yes, I forgot about that.
I still mourn that show's loss, like, every day. But yeah, they did do The Wolfman really well in that show. But yeah, I think with this, like, I don't know if no one, like, had a cohesive idea or if they just thought, we're going to do something different with werewolves by making them look like, seem like vampires. But it, what we got was a beautiful mess of a film. And, yeah, I don't know, sometimes bad movies are fun, and I have a lot of fun watching this nonsense. But yeah, for this...
My one thought I had was, why am I watching this by myself? Because I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, I think it is one of those films that if you watch it with your friends, like, it's really fun because,
yeah,
like I said, my
experience is more enjoyable, yeah.
Yeah, because like I said, my buddy Mike, cause that's the first time, like, we hung out. Like, our friendship was born because he's like, you have to come over and watch this movie. And, like, yeah, we just had a ton of fun, like, just watching it and laughing and making fun of it.
You should have had him on this episode.
I should have.
Your friendship was born from this movie.
Well, we were friends before, but this is the first time we had hung out. You know, we were like work
bonded.
Yeah, we were like work friends, and like he told me about this. And he's like, "You gotta come over and watch it." I'm like, yes, I need to watch it.
Like, this is when we became friends. He's like, "I thought we were friends before that." You're like,
but yeah, you know, it's like there's always like a line where you go from being like acquaintances to like buddies to like real friends when you're hanging out, and this was like that moment. But yeah, I don't know how he discovered it. I think he just found it on TV. And he's like, you gotta watch this movie. And yeah, I try to tell everyone I know about this movie. Like, I just love sharing it because it's such a piece of shit.
Well, I haven't seen the movie before.
Mm-hmm.
This is first for me.
Have you guys seen it before?
I had Cinemax in the early 90s. Needless to say, I've watched just about every shitty Cinemax movie you can imagine.
It's not Cinemax, though.
It was on Cinemax a couple of times, yeah.
Yeah, I remember this used to be on TV a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I really wanted to see The Howling, but it always seemed like the sequels were on.
Yeah.
It was never the first one, because it'd always be this, or it'd be, like, one of the other... Like, I remember Howling 3, The Marsupials. I'd see that on TV all the time, and I'm like, why the fuck is this one all the time, and why is a werewolf a marsupial now? Like, what's going on?
And Part 4, because it was actually premiered... on Cinemax.
Oh, it was?
Like,
okay.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Weird, sometimes like that too. Like, AMC will do Halloween marathons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they showed the first one once.
Yeah.
And then they just repeat 4 and 5, 4 and 5, 4 and 5. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So show some other Halloween movies, please.
Yeah. And yeah, so I don't know if it maybe it's a rights thing or whatever, but
like it costs more to keep airing.
Yeah, the royalties
the good
and
one.
Stuff, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
So keep airing the crappy one, then it costs a lot less to run.
Well, it all depends on the production, too.
Yeah.
What studio has produced
it. Yeah, that
it.
Might be it. And I feel like the other Howling movies are considerably cheaper to air. Because, I'd always see these ones. I'm like, nah, I want to see the first one. But I think I got the first one from the library and watched it that way. But yeah, I'm glad I could introduce you guys to one of my favorite like, this movie to me is up there with, like, The Room and Birdemic as far as, like, worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh, it's that bad, yeah.
I've never seen Birdemic, so...
Oh, man.
Have you seen The Room?
No.
We're going to watch The Room.
Yeah, I know. I know we're going to watch that. Birdemic.
Birdemic...
I've never even heard of till just this second, so...
Birdemic might be the worst movie I've ever seen.
Wow.
But it's... There's a point where it's... I think it's worse than The Room, because The Room maintains a steady level of shittiness throughout. Like, there's no, like, peak shittiness than just, like, bad... Whereas Birdemic at some point reaches like a peak level of ridiculousness, but then there's like a half hour left of just like unwatchable, boring shit.
James's next streak. Shitty first movies.
but yeah, that's why I picked this theme, because I really wanted to share The Howling 2, because I've been trying to like get my friends to watch this movie for forever. Because yeah, it is fun to like sit down with your buddies and watch it and just make fun of this movie.
Well, hopefully this podcast will convince some more of your friends to sit down either with you or with a couple of their friends.
With their sister.
Watch.
If you have a sister, you watch this with them.
Yeah, and partake in the glorious train wreck that this movie is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I said, like a lot of bad movies seem to have a troubled production, and that definitely shows.
I didn't even know Christopher Lee was in this movie, so, I mean, it started off really well, I think.
So you're pleasantly surprised when you saw him in space?
Yeah. But then I was thinking, maybe that's all they have. Like, maybe he's not a character. They just hired him or just used footage from something else.
I thought it was just going to be, like, the narrator over the beginning of it.
No, it's Christopher Lee is in this whole movie, unfortunately, looking like he doesn't want to be there.
No, he made a mistake.
Yeah.
He actually apologized. I saw a thing that he actually apologized to Joe Dante.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Went on the film of, on the set of Gremlins 2.
Two, yeah.
Yeah. Because of how shitty.
Yeah, I saw that too, he apologized for being in this to Joe Dante, which
we had a Gremlins episode, and we do talk a lot about Gremlins 2, even though that's not the point.
No.
That's usually what we do in these episodes where we discuss a series. We usually end up discussing the other ones, and I rewatched the first Howling just because I wanted to be fresh on that for this, since this one does haphazardly pick up where that one leaves off.
Well, I think it's Scream Factory has a really cool steelbook coming out in August of
this. Yeah, it looks awesome.
And I pre-ordered it, but I'm like, I'm not going to watch The Howling before that comes out, or I'll just never watch it. It'll be like years, I'm like, oh yeah, shit, I didn't get to rewatch this.
I must add that the footage, because Christopher Lee shows them the footage of the reporter turning into a werewolf, that is not the footage from the first film. Like, the werewolf looks completely different.
It's confusing to tell what's going on, too. Mm-hmm. And the reactions from, like, Ben and Jenny do not help you, like, register what they're thinking or what's going on.
Yeah.
Ben, that was faked. No, Ben, I recognize those people. Nah, this is bullshit. We're leaving.
That wasn't Karen.
We're leaving, Jenny.
Yeah, you could see why Reb Brown there, why his career, despite playing Captain America, never really... His acting is, I think wooden is nice, too nice to describe it. But then, what's her name? Jenny is not much better.
I don't think they knew what was going on, really. Like, these scenes where none of them can... I mean, there's a difference between having a really good actor in Christopher Lee and you're, like, maybe new to acting. Mm-hmm. These three people seem to have completely different ideas about what the scene is and what's going on.
Yeah, and yeah, maybe that was the director's fault, too. Maybe he, like, was confused, too, as to what he wanted. Like, yeah, nobody... I think nobody really knew what they wanted to do with this.
This is the behind-the-scenes movie I want to see, for sure.
Yeah, like, I definitely want to see how this came to be, because, you know, we find out the author of the book had a hand in the script because he wanted to be closer to his book. But I looked up the books for this, and even the second Howling book is nothing like this movie. So I don't know what contributions he had to the script, or maybe it was rewritten, but yeah, I feel like, I just don't think anyone was on the same page for this one.
Maybe he pulled a Kirkman from Walking Dead and was like, it's much better this way, and rewrote it.
Who knows? Could be.
Maybe, I don't know, who knows, but yeah, it is it's a gem, for sure. An 80s gem.
And there's plenty of those out there.
Oh, yeah. And I have not... I have seen The Howling 7. That's the only other sequel I've seen in this franchise. Because Mike and I were hanging out after this. We're like, we kind of want to see more of these. And Howling 7 was on demand, so we watched it. And it was terrible, but nowhere near to this level of terrible. Like, it was not enjoyable to watch.
We need to do a viewing of, like, all the sequels to The Howling in one sitting.
Oh, God. I don't know if I can do it.
It's probably a short hour and a half or something.
Yeah, I think they're all, like, hour and a half.
But, like, all the way up till 7. I think that would be hilarious.
Well, I think that's our episode.
I think so, yeah. That is The Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf.
Next week, we continue with shitty sequels. Chuck, would you like to introduce your shitty sequel?
I'd like to introduce my great sequel, but it's only shitty because the first one's great. I cheated with mine, because I think... I chose Predator 2, and I think it's a great movie. It's just nowhere near as good as the original Predator. So therefore, by definition, it is a shitty sequel. But it's a great movie, and I think we'll have fun talking about it.
And we'll have that for you next Friday. And we released a solo episode, Star Wars special episode that we did a crossover with that came out on Tuesday. Check that out if you've seen the movie. Thought that was a pretty good conversation.
Yeah, I think we all loved Solo, spoilers, but we do have a very good discussion about the film and what we enjoyed about it.
Yeah. And you can find that on iTunes, Google Play. Subscribe to us there, rate, review us. And we're also on iTunes, Twitter, at Cinema Demore. I'm at JJMorgan19.
Sinister Dick,
ChuckFan66.
And I'm at James Reinhardt. And thank you guys for listening. And